Hi, everybody. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Steve. Today we are on our second day of our lifestyle article, October 27th. The title is Fighting Cancer with a Little Help. In the studio with me is Campbell and Christina. Welcome back.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Campbell, can you give us a quick summary of what we learned yesterday in our lesson?
Sure. So yesterday we met a very brave young man named Ian Supra, and he is battling esophageal cancer, which means that he's got cancer in his throat. And he's had to deal with a lot of different types of therapy. Some of the therapy has been invasive and uncomfortable, but lately he's had a sidekick, which is a dog, a black lab, named Penelope, and that's been helping him with his battle.
Yes, thank you. And we were introduced to Penelope briefly yesterday. I think we'll learn more about the dog in today's lesson. Now, also with us, Christina, you have a cat.
I do.
Have you ever had a dog?
I've never had a dog.
Okay.
I've only had cats.
All right. Can you tell us a little bit your own personal feelings about the therapeutic value of an animal in your life?
In my life?
Sure.
Well, there have been times when I came home feeling stressed or upset, and even just looking at my cat, it just makes me feel better. So I just think pets overall are a very good therapy for people, even for people who are depressed, stressed, you know, or they're very ill mentally. I think it's very important for pets to bring comfort, companionship, and joy to both old and young. And it just gives them, especially patients, opportunity to stroke and play with the pets, which is great.
Yeah. I mean, I know for you, you look at your cat kind of like your son, right? You kind of
he is my son, Campbell.
Yeah. That's a little weird.
I mean, even when I go out with friends, I have to say, you know, I have to leave early because I have to feed my cat. And they look at me like I'm a little crazy, but, you know.
Just a little bit. Because that's kind of what I say to my friends, except I have kids.
He's like my kid, right? He's like my kid. So, yeah, my cat definitely makes me feel warm, and he puts a smile on my face every day.
Sure. Right, for sure. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, because I feel like as humans, we are very communal people.
Right.
So we're meant to be able to interact. And
right.
I think a lot of times that interaction and that communion and that being able to connect with something or someone helps a lot.
Right, and animals, they don't complain. They don't grumble, right? Sometimes you hear that a lot at work or amongst your friends. So
we're not here. We all love our jobs.
Yeah, we love our job. But
a pet's love is unconditional.
It's unconditional.
A pet is a great listener.
Right.
Right?
Of course.
And pet therapy actually is a very real thing, and it's scientifically proven to help people emotionally, physically. You mentioned depression earlier.
Right.
So you often see people bringing dogs to hospitals or nursing homes. Actually, one of our coworkers, Hazel, has done this. She signed up her dog. She has a few dogs, but one in particular, I think one of the poodles, she brings to a hospital once a month, maybe on a Saturday.
Doctor Dog program, right? So they actually train the dogs to interact with the patients and to just bring them some joy.
Right.
Nice.
And they find that it actually helps people heal quicker. And also in the news, you hear of people going to therapy sessions with dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Or horses. Horses are very, very powerful in helping people with emotional or traumatic experiences. People, soldiers, for example, coming back from the battlefront, they've got this trauma that they've seen and experienced. And people are using horses to help them.
Wow.
And it's good therapy. So, for sure, animals are a great form of therapy. Let's go back to our lesson today. We're on page 41 right now, and let's learn how Penelope the dog is helping her owner, Ian Supra, fight his battle with cancer. Please join us as we read in the left-hand column.
a furry form of therapy. It is easy to be a front runner in life and laugh when everything is going good. Ian is now at the back of the line, trying to catch up with everyone else who doesn't have to stop and think about a clock ticking over their head. But his smile has not gone away, nor has the generous spirit of someone who has reached out to others with cancer to offer support and even raise money. He also brings the cool, cocky confidence of a kid who was once an elite athlete. I have to remember what I'm fighting for and why I need to stay so positive and why I need to just keep fighting and never give up. I want to be healthy again. Penelope will be right there with him. She's got the irresistibly cuddlesome personality of a lab that greets you with a scuzzy toy and then sits on your lap.
Okay, we're talking about Ian Supra's fight against cancer, and our author starts today's lesson by talking about life and how easy it is to laugh and enjoy life when things are going well. But when things don't go well, that's a different story, right, Campbell?
That's right. So here we talk about being a front runner in life. When you're a front runner, that means you're the person or the animal that everyone expects to win. So it's easy to have that attitude of, I can do anything when things are going well. But for Ian, he's now in the back of the line. So he's battling cancer and he's trying to catch up with everyone else who doesn't have to think about death and the end of life.
Right. As we said earlier, most 19-year-olds are not thinking about death. They think they can live forever and do whatever they want, accomplish their goals, and take on the world. Now, Ian has to get to the back of the line and think about death, and that's very sobering.
Right.
Also, when I think of front runner, I think of they're the front runner because they have more skills than others.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think if three people are running a race, maybe one person has longer legs or has more experience, so they're the front runner.
Right.
They have more an advantage.
But here in Ian's case, he's not even trying to compete. I think he's just trying
right.
to survive, you know.
Yeah.
And so for him, you know, I think most young people are just thinking about the future and how they can succeed and do great things. But for him, he's just, you know, taking it a day at a time and just trying to continue to stay alive.
Yes, the author says Ian has a clock ticking over his head. And, of course, that's figurative. That's not literal. But let's talk about that clock for a few moments. In Ian's situation, normally people with esophageal cancer have a 20% chance of survival, which is not a great ratio, right? 20%?
That's right. Yeah.
And, in fact, it even dips down further. He actually has a 4% because it has spread to his lymph nodes. And you can see more about that in the little sidebar called Choosing Life. So 4% chance of survival.
Mm. Yeah, that's why they call it clock ticking over their head, because you just never know when the day will come.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we don't count the days when we're not sick. We feel like we can live on and not think about that. But when you have a 4% chance of surviving cancer, you start numbering your days and you try to make every day count. Now, unfortunately for Ian, he's in stage 4 of esophageal cancer. And, of course, if you're familiar with cancer, there are 4 stages, I believe. The first stage and second stage are what, I don't know if we'd say mild or less severe, but I think stage 4 is one of the top ones, and once you reach stage 4, it gets pretty grim.
Right, yeah. Stage 4 cancer is pretty terminal for most cases. There are cases where people do survive, but for the most part, stage 4 is pretty much in the latter phases of cancer.
Right, right. And it may be because they didn't catch it soon enough. And that's one reason why the disease will accelerate from one stage to another. If you can catch it soon enough, in the first stage or second stage, there's a greater chance of survival.
Right. I think it's important for everybody, even if it doesn't run in your family, to get those checkups, just in case it does happen.
Yeah, and I think it's a good reminder to take care of yourself when you are healthy. I think a lot of people, when you're healthy, you don't think too much about
it.
You know, but, and then when you get sick, that's when you want to start taking care of yourself. But then by then, it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
So Ian's odds are not good by any stretch of the imagination. However, that has not changed his spirit. What do we learn in the next paragraph, Christina? What?
His smile has not gone away. he's reaching out to others with cancer to offer support and even raise money.
And that's amazing, right?
Awesome, awesome.
Like, if I was sick and had this terminal disease, I think the tendency for humans is just to look inward and pity yourself. Mm. And like, oh, man, what am I going to do? But he is looking outside himself and seeing how he could help others.
Right. And it also here it says that he has the cool, cocky confidence of a kid who was once an elite athlete. You know, when we think of an elite athlete in the high school, usually that's the kid that's really popular, the one that everybody wants to be friends with, you know. So that kind of gives them a sense of, you know, coolness and cockiness, you know.
Right.
So he's very confident.
Yeah, and that must be a lot of fun to be his friend, actually. I mean, he's good attitude. He's probably humorous. He's popular. He is selfless.
Mm-hmm.
He is doing things for other people, even in his pain.
Right. I think when you do go through things such as cancer or something else, you feel for other people that have it. And I think that's why he's reaching out to other people, because you're like, oh, what I'm going through, these people are also going through. They're suffering as well, and I feel for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, good. Let's move on to the next paragraph on line 11, where we find Ian says, I have to remember what I'm fighting for and why I need to stay so positive. And what is he fighting for, Campbell?
Well, he's fighting for his family. In the little sidebar, Choosing Life, it says that he refuses to die. It's dying is not an option. He chooses to live, and he's looking forward to spending many days with his mother and his father and his girlfriend.
Yeah, that's right. So he's fighting for his family, his friends. He's fighting for other people. He's not just fighting for himself. But now we're going to talk about the dog again. And Penelope comes into the picture. In the next paragraph, Penelope will be right there with him. Christina?
Yeah, she's got the irresistibly cuddlesome personality of a lab that greets you with a scuzzy toy. And in this case, scuzzy means unpleasant, dirty, and probably unable to be trusted. But we're talking about his toy, Penelope's toy.
Okay.
Which has probably been on the floor and everywhere else in the hospital.
That's a great word. Yes, scuzzy. When I think of a scuzzy dog toy, okay, it's going to be like this plastic rubber squeaky bone toy with spit all over it.
Slobber.
And hair and dust, like, stuck to the spit.
Yeah.
And then that dog is going to take that toy and, like, bring it up on your clean bed and, like, drop it on your bed and thinking, like, the dog is doing you an honor. Like, look what I got for you. It's a gift.
A nice, scuzzy
Sounds
toy.
Pleasant.
Yeah. And labs are quite big, so their mouths are probably big.
Right.
They probably have a lot of saliva. And
right, right. And we talked about slobber yesterday. We saw that word, and slobber is when a dog or an animal just has the spit coming out, and it's getting everywhere. The dog is slobbering. So, but that's all forgivable, right?
Right.
Of course.
Of course.
Yes. He has an irresistibly cuddlesome personality. When something is irresistible, it means you can't reject it, you can't push it away. And cuddlesome just means you just want to give it a big hug.
Yeah. So you don't care
about that warm and fuzzy feeling, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So the dog is really, really has been a great thing for Ian. And let's learn about how Penelope came into Ian's life on the right-hand side of page 41. Let's finish today's reading, Fighting Cancer with a Little Help.
Ian and his mom, Jackie, were looking for a dog when one of her co-workers at Florida Hospital mentioned that her brother's lab had just given birth to a litter. They snuck Penelope into the hospital by wrapping her in a blanket. Jackie then called Ian saying she had a surprise waiting for him. After Ian got to the hospital, Jackie asked her friend's brother when Penelope was born. August 31st, Ian's birthday. We all just started bawling, Jackie said. We knew it was meant to be. Penelope has helped me so much in the past few months, Ian said. She makes me get outside every day to walk her. She makes me get up. I have to feed myself. I have to feed her too. So she makes me get up and do things. Together, they fight for another day. Many more days. Many more sloppy wet kisses.
Okay, we're back. We're learning how Penelope the dog came into Ian's life. Ian, of course, is fighting cancer. And we talked about the therapeutic value of pets, dogs. We mentioned horses and dolphins. Sometimes hospitals will assign or allow pets into the hospital. We talked about that with our coworker Hazel bringing her dog into a hospital. But this isn't that kind of scenario or situation, is it?
No. So here we find that Ian and his mom were looking for a dog when one of his mom's coworkers at Florida Hospital mentioned that her brother's lab had just given birth to a litter.
Okay. So what's a litter, Christina?
A litter is a group of animals that are born to one mother at the same time. So you can have a litter of four kittens or a litter of six dogs.
Yeah. Litters can get up to nine, maybe
a
right
lot.
Then. Yeah.
Not a lot.
It varies. And usually the last one to be born is called the runt of the litter.
Right. Meaning they're the smallest.
They're the smallest, and they get picked on the most by their brothers and sisters.
My cat, when I was younger, got pregnant, and she had a litter of four cats. And it was very funny because each of them were a different color.
Mm.
One was black, one was white, one was brown with black stripes, and one had spots on it.
Okay. Mm.
You never would have guessed they came from the same litter.
Oh, interesting. Okay. And was there a runt, obvious runt of the litter?
In that litter, there was not a runt.
Okay. Everyone was equal.
Everyone was equal. The same sized.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here we see that Penelope was snuck into the hospital. Now, remember, the dog is not as big at that time as it looks on page 41.
So right.
The dog is a puppy at this time, a newborn puppy, probably the size of maybe two fists or three fists. And so they wrapped the little puppy into a blanket and brought the dog to the hospital, probably breaking a few rules, right?
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, the mom did work at the hospital, so maybe she had some connections there. So
yeah.
Maybe it wasn't that bad.
Or they just allowed it.
Yeah.
Right? You never know.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe. We talked earlier. Of course, some dogs are allowed into hospitals for therapy value.
And there are organizations that do work with these working dogs, specifically with patients.
Right, right. Now, again, this isn't an official therapeutic dog, although there are those.
Right.
This is just a little gift for Ian from his mom to help his emotions and perhaps help him through this difficult time. All right, so how did this unfold, Campbell?
Well, Jackie, after Jackie the mom snuck Penelope into the hospital, she called Ian, saying she had a surprise waiting for him. And when Ian got to the hospital, then she gave the dog to him.
All right. And so it was a gift, and they asked, when was the dog's birthday? And when they found out, everyone started crying or bawling. Crying loudly. Why did they cry, Christina?
Because Penelope had the same birthday as Ian, which is on August 31st.
Yeah. So yes. What does that mean?
It means they were meant to be.
Dog meant to be together.
Meant to be together, yes. It was supposed to be his dog.
Okay. So maybe we can guess. Maybe the dog was a birthday gift for Ian.
Mm-hmm.
Penelope, we find out, has helped Ian so much. And here are a few things that the dog is helping Ian with. One is she helps Ian get outside every day. Of course, dogs need to be walked probably twice a day at the least, And so Ian has to go out. He has to get up and move around. He has to be physical. And when you're sick and feeling nauseous and you've got needles sticking out of you and all this kind of thing, you don't really want to, but it's healthy to. You should. And the dog encourages Ian to do that.
Mm-hmm.
What's the other thing that the dog helps Ian with?
Well, she makes him get up. So, you know, sometimes you're sick, you might want to sleep in, but the dog makes him get up. And he has to feed himself, and he has to feed her too. So basically, she just makes him do things.
Yeah. In that, I'm thinking, I've got terminal cancer. I've got a 4% chance of living.
Mm-hmm.
And you're facing another day, probably with bad news, probably with more treatments that are painful. It would take a big, big toll on your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And the strength you need to get out of bed each day, right?
Right.
I would just feel very depressed.
Yeah, he's probably physically exhausted and weak, but at the same time, I think he's looking forward to spending the day with Penelope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so you have to get out of bed because the dog won't let you stay in bed.
Right.
The dog wants to be fed.
I know the feeling.
Really?
I know the feeling.
Okay.
My cat Suki wakes me up every day and I'm exhausted. I don't want to get up, but he's there. And even though I don't want to wake up, I feel very happy to see him, see his face.
Does he wake you up to be fed?
Yes.
Do you walk him?
I don't walk him. I don't walk him. Dogs are actually much harder to take care of than cats.
Yeah.
So Ian is working a lot with this dog.
Right, right. So imagine the emotional support that Ian can get from this dog. This dog is unconditionally loving Ian, helps Ian get up and face the day and be that kind of a crutch. We all need a crutch once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ian gets up, feeds the dog, feeds himself, and then does other things.
Right.
And so they fight for another day.
That's right. I think the idea here is also that Penelope gives him another reason to continue to fight,
mm-hmm.
right? So we find out from that same sidebar there that he wants to go for long walks with Penelope and enjoying all the sights and smells as much as she does. So she helps him to have a reason to fight along with his family.
Yeah, and when you're in a situation like Ian is in, you need every reason you can think of to get up and fight, because it would be so easy to just give up and give in to this disease. But not Ian. He is very determined to obliterate this cancer in his life.
Hmm.
So the final sentence, many more sloppy, wet kisses. I like how we kind of end on a fun note.
Right.
Positive note.
It's a positive note. They're sloppy and wet.
Mm-hmm.
Many more to come.
Right. Well, I mean, if you think about how a dog kisses, basically they just lick you. So if you imagine a dog or a person licking you, that is quite wet and quite sloppy.
Sloppy and the word slobber mm-hmm. are very similar.
Yes.
When a dog slobbers, there's this saliva everywhere, and sloppy means you're going to get a lot of that on your face
yeah.
when a dog kisses you. But you just love the dog so much.
You don't care, right?
You don't
right?
care,
you don't
right?
Care.
Oh, I care.
Some people,
you care, Campbell.
I don't want to gross anyone out, but some people like will open their mouth
yeah.
and
yeah.
let the dog...
No.
No, that's weird,
gross.
Right?
I would.
Some people do that.
I don't. No.
They say a dog's mouth is cleaner than our mouth.
That's
Have you
what
heard
I've
that?
Heard.
It could be very likely, sure.
But that doesn't change anything in your mind.
No, I mean, I don't want saliva all over my face. That's just gross.
You can clean your face, Campbell.
No.
Okay, Campbell, you have two beautiful daughters.
Yes.
I'm sure they have given you a sloppy,
sloppy wet kisses.
No, no,
no.
They give me
really?
Kisses. They're not sloppy and wet. I can't deal with sloppy and wet.
Okay.
But we do give each other kisses,
yeah.
and that's fine.
Yeah. That's what dogs are great for. Cats really don't give sloppy wet kisses.
No, cats are not sloppy. Their mouths are very small and their tongue is very small. But when I do encounter a dog, I don't mind if they slobber all over me. I actually
yeah.
don't mind because, you know, I'm an animal lover and
yes.
I'm all for it. I can just wash my face afterwards.
Yeah.
yeah.
For me, it depends on the breed.
Mm.
I've had neighbors growing up. They've had two great big Newfoundland dogs, and they're like little miniature horses, and they're slobbering all the time. They've got this drool hanging down.
Ugh.
I mean, it's dripping constantly from their mouth.
Gross.
And I don't know how people would like embrace this dog or hug it. Or I mean,
that's because they're so loving and warm, even though they're slobbering everywhere.
Oh my God. Yeah,
they're just so loving.
But it's at times like these where I realize how much of a city boy I am.
Yeah. I have my limits. I have my limits. But I think I could tolerate and enjoy a kiss from Penelope, her sloppy, wet kisses. And I'm sure Ian loves those as well.
Yeah, it does look like from the pictures that Ian has a lot of fun with Penelope. He dances with her and he gives her high fives. And I think it's so important for someone who's dealing with such a serious illness to have such a community around him. You know, we see that his parents seem like they love him very much and really support him. And I think that's also going a long way to helping him to find the strength that he needs to obliterate this cancer.
Absolutely, yeah. Support is essential when you go through such a dark time as this. Maybe you can think of a time in your life that it was very difficult and you leaned on the support of your friends and family and remember how important that was for you. Well, remember, perhaps in the future or the near future, you could be that support for someone as well, someone close to you, your friend or a family member or even a coworker or classmate. Be the support to help people because everyone needs some help, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we'd love to hear from you and to hear what you thought about today's lesson and yesterday's lesson. And, you know, if you have some stories about how of yourself and how you fought cancer or if anyone you loved had to fight cancer. Also, remember to check out our QR code scattered throughout this lesson. It's got a lot of good information and some features for you to enjoy.
All right. Thank you for that reminder, Campbell. And with that, we'll say goodbye. So for all of us here at Advanced Studio Classroom, have a great day.